WGN. It is On the Road with Tane live here in the Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago on a beautiful Saturday here in Chicago and Chicagoland. It is it's a great day to get out there, not too hot, not too cold. Get out and enjoy a little bit of, maybe some weather. Maybe get out there, maybe grill something. Maybe get out there, see a festival. There's a ton of things happening. We're going to touch on some that are happening today, some that are coming just around the corner, and some that you can look forward to making plans for a little bit down the road. No pun intended. When it comes to the road, though, and it comes to cruise nights, we feature a lot of them around the Chicagoland area, and one of the very best ones is happening in Lombard as they get into their grand finale happening tonight. Not only do they have great cars in Lombard, but they also have great music and something planned for you today. We got Avis Mead on from the Village of Lombard. Avis, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Dane.
Hi. So you sound very calm. I know that you're in the eye of the storm right now as the excitement builds for kind of this is the grand finale for you guys.
It really is. It's been an awesome season so far. We are so lucky with this weather today. We're really excited.
It's going to be great. So talk a little bit about it as people are able to make their plans, get out to Lombard, show off a car, see a lot of great cars, but then also, too, is you've got one of the top music acts playing tonight as well.
We do. For our grand finale tonight, we actually have American English. It's going to be an awesome night. We always have a great collection of cars, but our cruisers are really, really great people, and they bring the best collection around. You can see everything, old cars, new cars. There really is so much to see.
Some of the more successful are, I think, the ones that people really, really like around the Chicagoland area, the kind of cruise nights that not only bring out the people, not only have a great collection of people that are ready to sit down, talk, kind of have those conversations about the cars with the people that are coming to look at them too, but also are in sort of that downtown setting where you get an opportunity to kind of walk up and down, see some of the things that are going on, enjoy some of the food, talk a little bit about some of the places that are there in downtown Lombard that people are going to be able to enjoy, maybe on the food side or the beverage side, or some of the other things going on that people will see when they're there.
Well, there really is something for everyone. We have a ton of new stores that are opening. We have restaurants that are just, people come from all over just for the restaurants. And you add the live music right outside the front door to it. It's a pretty great night.
And get this. So for those people not familiar, of course, we reach the greater Midwest at all times, 38 states and Canada at night. And Lombard is on the train track, right? So even if you don't want to get in a car to see some cars, you can get in and the train station lets you off pretty much right where the cruise night happens.
Yeah, absolutely. It's exactly in the concert location. So you can just take the Metro West line and get off in Lombard and you're right there.
Yeah, you get off the train and I think it lets you off backstage. Is that correct?
Yeah, it really does. There's a tunnel you can head out to the concert area pretty quick.
And so if people are fans, we didn't necessarily get a chance to talk about the band that much. It's American English, and they're one of the, I think, one of the top most well-respected, recognized Beatles tribute bands. Talk about the timing. People can show up not only if they want to kind of bring their car in or whatever you recommend, and then also the showtime for the music.
Sure. So cruisers can start parking after 4 p.m. We'll have plenty of spaces open at that time. We encourage people to show up a little early if they want to get a good spot for their cruise car. The music starts at 7, but before that, we actually have a ton of things planned for families. We have a face painter. We have some balloons there. We're going to have a few little carnival games and plenty to do for everybody. So you can head on out anytime after around 5, set up a chair, go get something to eat, and then come back out and enjoy the music.
Plenty of time to get your plan together, get you and your family, get out to Lombard, see the cars, enjoy the downtown, enjoy some of the food, and of course the music as well. Is there a site where you guys have either some of the time or places listed where people can maybe see exactly where the cruise night is happening?
Absolutely. You can go to villageoflombard.org/cruise night.
villageoflombard.org/cruise night. Avis Mead, she's there kind of wrangling all of this as we get into kind of the grand finale for it all. Good luck and congratulations on the weather. And I know everyone's going to have a great time tonight.
Thanks so much, Dane.
All right. Thanks, Avis. All right. So that's something fun to do. You can get out there and then that band, you know, American English. I think, Ashley, you said you've seen them before.
I've seen them like 3 or 4 times.
Are you serious?
I swear.
Are you are you a fan? Did you run the fan club or something?
I wish. They do an amazing job really taking on what the Beatles were when in their prime and just bringing that back to life. Obviously, it's not the same, but they do an amazing job to bring it back to life, and I think it's awesome.
Considering the living status of some of the members of the Beatles, they probably do it better, right?
You know, exactly.
And here's the thing, too, is I'm pretty sure in 312-981-7200, if people want to text in or call in if they've seen them live, I think they do costume changes and kind of do music throughout the era of the band, you know, because when they first started, you know, the Ed Sullivan stuff is one kind, and then when they're doing Sergeant Pepper, it's another kind, and I think they sort of kind of give that whole feel of the band as it traveled through those eras.
They do, and they do an amazing job. The costumes are phenomenal. They really do take you back in time and travel through their whole time as a band.
Wow, and you see some great cars from all through the eras as well. Match the cars up to the music. You can do it all at Lombard. Get out there and see it. We are going to take a break. Then we come back, we're going to have Corey Powers in studio. She is from Kissimmee, a little further away. And I'll contend that we're kind of our weather here today is better probably than Kissimmee, Florida. It's probably oppressively hot there. So she'll be joining us. Stay tuned for that. On the Road with Dane here, 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Corey Powers from ExperienceKissimmee.com. You're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Nibbling on sponge cake. Watching the sun bake.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and in studio with us. This is, I think, a unique opportunity. So many people take their time to make their way, their pilgrimage, their family road trip. They're on the road trip down to Kissimmee. Today, Kissimmee is here, and we have brought Kissimmee to us right here in the studio. Excited to have the communications director for Experience Kissimmee, the one and only Corey Powers. Corey, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be able to bring sunny Kissimmee, Florida to sunny Chicago.
You know what I think, and of course for us here, you know, we'll be thinking like this was your opportunity to maybe escape the few moments throughout the calendar year where Chicago actually has maybe as good or better weather than Kissimmee.
It's beautiful here. It's beautiful.
So what is it that you're seeing when you get up here? Of course, you're going to see the sights. I know you're making the rounds. Important opportunity to kind of share with us and the listeners, you know, what's going on in Kissimmee as we all kind of consider planning our next trip down there. But for you, for, you know, a couple minutes before we get into all that, what are you seeing here in Chicago?
So yesterday I did the architecture tour on the river.
Really?
Which was lovely. Yeah, it was great to learn about the history and the buildings that I see and pass every day while walking. So other than that, I don't have a whole lot of time to sightsee, but open to any kind of suggestions.
Oh, well, we got a great restaurant scene.
True.
We got great architecture, some sports, great sports, maybe political corruption, rampant crime. I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why people love Chicago and a lot of reasons why people get in the car or on that plane and head their way down to Florida and visit Kissimmee. So let's talk a little bit about it. And as a person who's been there and experienced it, and you, of course, carrying the torch as the ambassador for it here in our city, there are a lot of things that are happening in Kissimmee that everyone is familiar with, but they just don't necessarily associate it with your town.
Absolutely. So Kissimmee is in Central Florida, obviously. We share a border with Orlando a little bit south. We are in close proximity to all of the great theme parks that people know Central Florida for: Walt Disney World, Universal Orlando, SeaWorld, and then Legoland's just about 45 minutes from us as well.
Legoland
for the great kids and builders in the group.
Yes.
And then also we have a great accommodation scene. We have 45,000 accommodations in total in our county. 22,000 of those are the vacation homes.
See, that's important. People always think of, maybe they don't go past that on the thought process. You know, you're going to get there, you're going to walk around, you're going to have at some point the desire, maybe the need to like sit down, lay down, rest, whatever, take a day off, you know, and kind of enjoy it. So on the accommodation side, is that kind of where you feel it's one of the great things that you guys have to offer? Is not only, I'm sure there's a lot of hotels in the area in and around the parks, but also those vacation homes. I'm a little bit familiar with them. And for the listeners who have not experienced that or thought about it, it may seem a little mysterious. It may seem a little daunting. It's easy and it can be a great way to experience the area.
Absolutely. Yes, we do have plenty of amazing resorts and hotels in Kissimmee, but we also have these vacation home products that are, again, 22,000 of of them, and they range from two-bedroom condos to 18-bedroom mega mansions. And these houses have, you know, they're built in resort-style neighborhoods, so there's a concierge where you can check in. They have a water park, maybe, transportation to and from the theme parks that you can arrange. But these houses have amenities in them, grocery delivery. You can have a personal chef come and cook breakfast for you. You can have a pool with a private pool in the house. You can have a bowling alley, an in-home movie theater.
If you're Taylor Swift, right? You need a bowling alley because you got to go ahead and bowl. I mean, that's one thing. And so it's nice to see that range, everything from things that an average family would know, enjoy, kind of need, and then all up to the aspirational. If you're Batman, you know, and you need everything, you need like a super bat lair and a cave and a helicopter pad, you can do that too.
Of course. But, you know, a really good point is these houses that are kind of the multi-bedroom, we're seeing a lot of multi-generational travel. So families coming, you know, grandma, grandpa, mom and dad and kids. So those houses are perfect for those with the little ones. They go to bed at 8 o'clock. What are you going to do in a hotel room? You can have this house. You can spread out, put the kids to bed, have a glass of wine by the pool. And then also couples traveling together. So groups of families traveling together. And, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes it makes more sense to just stay in one house. It's easier to kind of wrangle everybody. And it can be more economical in some of those slower periods. So like the fall that's coming up, or, you know, January, February, prices are actually really reasonable.
You know what? That's something to consider for an average family that may look to do that, bring some of the relatives down, have that sort of convergence of kind of the vacation situation. There's really, and there's nothing against, you know, a great hotel or being on property at Disney or all those things, but it is really a great alternative and it isn't that expensive. And here's the thing that's a little bit different about the actual resort communities. And you think to yourself, for the people that have checked out Airbnb, well, I could just stay at anybody's house. These houses, I mean, they're designed with a really thoughtful mindset to the vacationer. So there are more bedrooms and more bathrooms than there would be of an average house of that size. And then you've got really what I think is an oversized kitchen, because it allows you to go ahead and kind of cook and enjoy. And so much of what happens in the family space is around sort of like dinner and cooking, and it's all open concept a lot of times, right? And you mentioned the pools, and this isn't necessarily a giant pool, but it's really great to have something the kids can splash out back. And on the price side, you know, if you do the math and you have like however many, let's say you'd need 3 or 4 hotel rooms, it is quite a bit actually typically cheaper, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of them, like you were talking about, the kitchens have the outdoor kitchens too. So you can hang out by the pool and then cook some burgers or steaks in the back while everybody's still together. So it's just a really good opportunity to spend some of that, you know, spend your energy, go, go, go doing during the day, and then have a place to kind of come back, relax, and kind of unwind from a busy day at the parks or, you know, sightseeing.
And even on the go, go, go side, and we all know as parents, and I experienced, I think it was like 9 o'clock at Disney and we didn't get out of there till like after midnight. That is a lot of work. And what you have in the resort homes is an opportunity to really have what feels like a vacation, and that can be in sort of a kind of a low-key rest setting. And you mentioned it too, Corey, that they've got, you know, a lot of times the properties will have sort of like a mini like playground or playland or amusement park or water park, mm-hmm. right within it. So they've thought of a lot of those things. And so you get a chance to stay. I did want to talk about Kissimmee in some ways that people haven't necessarily thought of it as well. So there's a downtown Kissimmee. I've spent time there. There's been some events there, some major events there. And another thing, as a person who's been on the planet for a while, I wasn't aware that it existed, but there's a lot to do.
There is. Downtown Kissimmee is actually a really, it's a quaint area. They have a thriving restaurant scene. 26 locally owned and operated restaurants, which is the most in Central Florida, locally owned and operated restaurants. They have a beautiful lakefront where there's great fishing opportunities, beautiful walkway just to kind of take in nature and like I said, just take a little break from go, go, go. Also some really unique antique stores.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So outside of getting, you know, the spoon that says, you know, has Florida on it, or maybe some sort of mummified gator head.
Yeah.
Nothing against those. They're great. But once you have that, right, there's some great antiques. Now, are they local to like the Florida area, or kind of an eclectic blend of people passing through?
Yeah, it's an eclectic blend for sure. They cater to all kind of nationalities too. Some of the great restaurants down there are, there's a Jamaican restaurant that opened up. There's a Puerto Rican restaurant that opened up. There's a tea room. So really anything that could, you know, sound good to you, we could probably find.
on the experience side, as far as some of the attractions, we all know the ones that are known worldwide, bringing people from all over the place. But there are things in the area that are, whether it's educational or whether it's fun, maybe a little low key, maybe, you know, there's just some different things to do that maybe don't have giant mascots walking around, right? There's other
stuff. Absolutely. There's more to Kissimmee than Mickey and Universal for sure. We have some great ecotourism activities. Gatorland is probably one of the best well-known attractions.
Love Gatorland.
Who doesn't? It outdates Disney World, so it was there before Mickey, and they're celebrating their 70th anniversary this year, so lots of great activities and events going on there. We also have paddling at Shingle Creek, where you turn off the busiest highway in Kissimmee and you're in this nature oasis. You can paddle down Shingle Creek River, and it's the headwaters of the Everglades. We have lots of airboat rides that you can take. Again, headwaters of the Everglades, so you can tote around on a airboat. We also have one company that you can drive your own airboat, learn how to drive it, and take it out on the lake for a spin.
You think Chicago has nothing to do with alligators? I don't know if this news made it down there, but it was one of the biggest and kind of craziest stories over the last like month, certainly the summer, is we had an alligator that was in one of the ponds, I guess, up here, and it just, I don't want to say terrorized, it was like a 4-foot alligator.
Oh.
But it was like alligator watch, and the police had the ropes off. We had to bring a guy up. He might have been from Kissimmee. He was from Florida. We had to like have sort of like a hired gun A-team, special forces of gator, and he came up and he caught him in like an hour and a half, you know. But it took weeks, and it was like gator watch.
Oh my goodness.
It was
goodness.
A big deal.
A 4-footer, that's nothing. Come to Gatorland, they've got 12-footers.
Yeah. And here's the thing too is, and let the listeners know, we're talking with Corey Powers from Kissimmee Experience. Kissimmee will have a link up at WGNradio.com for people who enjoy some of the things that we have here in Chicago. Great food town. I do a lot of the food here for WGN. Is that I was excited and surprised to know that you guys have in that area there really like a great presence of great chefs, certainly diverse cuisine, but also some James Beard Award winners.
Yeah. So Disney Springs, if you haven't been in a while, it used to be Downtown Disney, is now Disney Springs. They've done a great job revitalizing that area and bringing some really well-known chefs to the property. So right now there's 6 James Beard Award-winning chefs on property.
Wow.
They just opened up Jose Andres' new restaurant, Haleo.
Nice.
Yeah. And of course, they're ever expanding. We just, they opened up the NBA experience. So it's an interactive basketball themed area for groups, families, kids. But yeah, that property is great for just kind of walking around and doing a little taste and see of really great food and wine and drinks. And then also our newest entertainment district is Sunset Walk over at Margaritaville Orlando Resort. So that has some Ford's Garage, which is a really cool themed motorist kind of restaurant. Yeoman's, which is British fish and chips. Bahama Bucks, which is shaved ice. So some really great new local restaurants to the scene over at Sunset Walk.
There's things are changing all the time. So all the things that you know and love and expect from a vacation down to that area, Central Florida and specifically Kissimmee, but also all sorts of things that have been there all along and all sorts of things that are starting and kind of coming into the scene, you know, as we speak. For people who want to get more information, plan their trip down there, where can they go where you have all of that stuff listed and get more information?
Yeah, our website is a great resource. It's experiencekissimmee.com.
ExperienceKissimmee.com, and maybe on social media, any place that people can see some things there?
Yep. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn, you name it, we're there.
You name it, we're there. And hopefully, if you're playing your cards right, you'll be there at some point, maybe later on this fall, certainly in the spring and summer as well. ExperienceKissimmee.com. Corey Powers, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for visiting Chicago. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me and bringing this great weather. It's awesome.
Hi, this is Michael Simon, and you're on the road with Dane at WGN. You
need cooling. 720 WGN, on the road with Dane, live here in the Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago, and we talked about it. Some great things happening today that we're previewing, things that are great that are around the corner, and of course, things to plan for down the road. And a guy that's going to be a part of one of my absolute favorites, and I would always contend that it is the number one touring food event experience, and of course with that higher purpose of raising the conversation for Heritage Breed Pork, Cochon 555 and Grand Cochon has been here for the last few years, and it's great to have. It used to be out in Snowmass, used to be out in Aspen as part of the Aspen Classic, and always supported it, and it's exciting to have it here again. And whenever we can have it here and then have our hometown guy representing it ready to take on the championship, I think we're ahead of the game. In studio, excited to have Chef Danny Espinoza from Cantina Laredo. Chef, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dane. Pleasure being here, man.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here as the excitement builds. Now, this is the thing. There's so many great events that happen here in Chicago. There's so many different festivals and all that kind of stuff. Cochon is different, and we'll give the listeners a little kind of insight in it a little bit later on in the segment. But it's different because it's so much work, right? Mm-hmm. It isn't just like show up and give some samples out, you know, even if it's for a good cause. It's a lot of work, and there's a lot of, I think, pride and bragging rights on the line.
No, absolutely. I think it's... total craft. I mean, from the day you get your pig delivered from the farmer, and you hear, you know, some of the stories of what it ate, you know, where it walked, how it lived, and more than anything, you know, the appreciation level these farmers have. So that always, I don't know, it always gets instilled into my head of make sure you glorify this animal as much as you can.
Yeah, and there's that diversity in it as far as some of the dishes. We'll talk about those a little bit later as well. But I love to get, because you think about this as it happens in 10 to 15 cities around the country. Cochon 555 happens all over. Heritage Fire happens as one of the series. And it really brings in, from each one of those different markets and cities, some of the very best chefs that are there have participated in this event. And it's always great to get a little bit of the backstory of it. So let's talk a little bit about you. Of course, Cantina Laredo, you guys are knocking it out of the park. We've had John before. You've been on in other incarnations in the media, kind of sharing what it is that you do. But for you and kind of your journey on the food side, how did it all start?
It started living in the west side of Chicago, Humboldt Park. And, you know, I come from a Mexican family from Michoacan. Mom didn't really let us play outside because, you know, let's remember the west side in the 90s. And a lot of the times it was just helping her, you know, dice onions, clean cilantro, warm up tortillas before my dad got home. And a lot of that was vacationing to Mexico once a year and just spending time with my grandparents, who were tamale makers for 50 plus years. Wow. So being surrounded by food all the time kind of, I don't know, it made me feel like I belong in the kitchen ever since a young age. And then I, you know, culinary school comes about. Well before culinary school, I started working in restaurants at the age of 16. I used to work at Carmichael's Steakhouse.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that was my first job as a line cook, salad cook. And then from there, went on and met Carlos Gaitan from Mexique.
Yes.
And worked there for 4.5 years, learned a lot. Always had this idea and dream to go and live and work in France. And I did that in the south of France at a 1-star Michelin restaurant.
What was that like? Because it's one thing, and of course we're all very proud of kind of our food scene here and what it is that we have, and I'll contend you don't necessarily have to leave Chicago to be a great acclaimed, celebrated mm-hmm. person on the culinary side. But when you think about it, as far as climbing kind of that mountaintop and going out and learning what it is, France is usually in that team photo of experiences. What was that like?
It was a challenge in a very positive way. Put it this way, my French chef, who was my culinary instructor, before I left, he looked at me and he said, "Daniel," he's like, "just remember, in France, we don't walk, we run." And that was always in my head. And I was like, wow, he's serious, man, because it's all about the sense of urgency. You know, you always have to be doing something. And I'll never forget my first couple of days in Chef Simon Scott's kitchen. He asked me to whip some egg whites. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll just get the KitchenAid mixer, right? And he looked at me and he goes, "Ah, you Americans are so lazy." He's like, "Grab a bowl, grab a whisk, and start whisking." He's like, "What happens if electricity goes out?" He's like, "You guys are so spoiled." So it was that humbling aspect of, okay, I get it. You're not being mean. You just want me to know what plan B, C, D, the whole alphabet is. Like, what do we do? What if?
You got to know all the basics. You got to be great at all those building blocks so that you can move on and be able to do some of those other things. Now, Ashley and I were talking a little bit off the air about different careers that are out there, and some of them that you couldn't just pull anybody out and put them into. The restaurant business is hard. Being a chef is hard. It's long hours, mm-hmm. and it is a lot of work in order to get to the level where you're at. And is it the kind of thing that you do you feel like you had to be hardwired to do this? Like,
yeah,
you couldn't do anything else, right? You couldn't see yourself, you know, being an insurance salesman.
No, not really. I think the closest thing I would do would probably be a teacher. I wanted to be a teacher before I wanted to be a chef, and then working in the kitchen, and then, you know, just going up the ranks. I mean, now I do feel like a teacher. You know, you have a crew of, you know, 20 plus cooks, and they're learning from you how to do things better, more efficiently. And at the same time, I'm learning from them and then applying the same teachings that they're giving me onto wherever I keep going. One thing I do want to mention about France was, I believe it humbled me completely into the sense that I got to relate to my parents really, really well, because I was in a country where I didn't speak the language. I was in a country where I did not know my streets. I got lost various times. And it was a lot of pointing and figuring things out, where lucky enough, a lot of times with my broken French, they'll just say, oh, hablas español, and they'll speak Spanish to me. But, you know, it was probably not the same that my parents, you know, went through coming into this country. But, you know, just a little bit, you know, that humble pie.
One of the things, too, and this is I think, something specific about cooking, about the food industry, about being a chef, it is kind of a passport, is that if you get good at that, there are universal skills, whether it's whisking or whether it's just being able to handle or kind of run a kitchen, where you can, it's almost like a passport to the world, right? Absolutely. Because you can show up almost anywhere around the world and speak that universal language of cooking, right?
Yeah, I completely 100% agree. It's that's the only language I think we share in the kitchen, you know, the cooking language. Kitchen language.
Well, you guys are speaking the language of hopefully imminent victory, right? Coming up with Grand Cajon happening. Let the listeners know we're talking with Chef Danny Espinoza from Cantina Laredo. When we come back from this break, we're going to preview Cajon. We're going to preview Grand Cajon coming up in just, it's maybe a little over a couple weeks, some of the work that's going on in there. It as an event, it is one of those things you must not miss if you love great food. And of course, the great wines and everything. I mean, it's a full experience. We're going to talk about that when we come back. It's On the Road with Dane here, 720 WGN.
Yeah! I just want to tell you right now that
Hi, this is Stephanie Izard, and you're On the Road with Dane on WGN.
I really do believe that something's got a hold on me here.
I must be the
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane. Hi, atop Chicago in the Skyline Studio. In studio with us, we've got Chef Danny Espinoza from Cantina Laredo, and we've been talking about Cajon 555, Grand Cajon, just around the corner. And Chef, you've been a big part of Cajon over the years. You understand the event, what it is, the higher purpose. You've supported other chefs who've been a part of it, and now it's an opportunity not only to defend your title here in Chicago, but represent like your own restaurant, your own vision, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I've helped out various friends in the past, a mentor, and it's nice to make decisions on your own and really test it out there and. You know, get that seal of approval. So now it's just, you know, as you say, defend Chicago, and it's looking good, man. I mean, I take signs, you know, for granted sometimes. It's September 15th. My birthday is September 10th. I turned 30. It's a good way to start 30. Mexican Independence Day, September 16th. And
so you've got the astrology out there. Yeah, you got the charts, the graph.
Yeah, call it whatever you call it. But yeah, it's most importantly, aside from those dates, I mean, it's all about execution and consistency.
And you guys have been doing that. I think to get to this level, this is a huge deal. And it's Cajon555.com to get in on some of the things, the experience that they have, the tickets that they have for it. If it's at Fulton Market this year, like you said, on the 15th. And it's all about the chefs and the food and the creativity. But also there's a lot of great, there's amazing wines there. There's the Punch Kings. There's all sorts of spirits. It's really kind of a full experience. And again, we mentioned it's for that higher purpose of raising awareness for heritage breed pork. And Cantina Laredo is going to be represented. So talk a little bit about the restaurant, you know, because people are going to enjoy what it is that you're doing on the 15th, but they can enjoy it all year round as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Cantina Laredo, as many years, you know, people have known it as Tex-Mex. And then this past year, I was invited to change a little bit of the direction here in Chicago specifically. It's one of our largest Cantina Laredos. And more than anything, it's a going back to the basics. You know, I think less is more is always my thought. Making handmade tortillas is I think the start of the best Mexican food ever. because it all starts with corn. I mean, if you open packs of tortillas, nothing wrong with it. But if you can make them, why not?
Yeah, well, exactly.
So small details like that. We always have a guacamole seasonal special, a ceviche seasonal special. And we play around with a lot of things that are in season. More than anything, it keeps the cooks, you know, on their toes, busy, and just keep pushing creativity. Because at the end of the day, that's what I enjoy, showing them that they can – they're not robots. You know, you don't just put stuff on a plate. Like, there's a why. There's a reason why things are on a plate.
Well, and keeping it simple is one of those things. If it's not broke, don't fix it on some of the, whether it's those tastes, those flavors, the techniques. Yeah. But also, too, is you keep it fresh, right? With seasonal stuff, you guys are going to be adjusting the menu coming up soon.
Absolutely. So we have fall and winter coming in. So, as you know, summer's almost over here in Chicago.
I don't feel like it should be. I hate to acknowledge that. Of course, I mentioned earlier, there's Halloween decorations in the store.
Yeah.
It's August, though. Danny, don't push us into it yet.
I know. I'm just rounding. I was like, it's already September. Yeah.
So for the menu, you're going to have some different flavors, a little more hearty, right?
Yeah, a little heartier. You know, we're working on a short rib with some poblano grits, pickled crispy fried onions. And you know, I like tying the whole Midwest and you know, Mexican. It's funny because people are like, well, this isn't traditional. I was like, nobody said we're traditional. I mean, the sign says modern Mexican. And to me, that's just, you know, a way into how can we play with flavors and ingredients we source here in Chicago, in the Midwest. You know, because I'm never going to call my food traditional. The technique, the foundation is traditional. And then you just kind of take it and give it your own spin to represent who you are.
Yeah, your own vision here. And the way that the world works is just as we give up, even if we're resisting it, we're giving up summer, but then life gives us football season, right?
Absolutely.
It gives us something to say, like, oh, but then again, you know, there's the Bears, there's football, there's all of that coming up. And I'll contend, of course, the Bears are on the verge of something great. I think everybody can sort of feel it. But for the past, like, the best part of a Bears game was the tailgate, because typically they weren't doing that great on the field. And you're in on the tailgate situation as well coming up.
Yeah, so for a good chunk of my career, I've always done pop-ups, whether it was at my apartment or, you know, some random space.
See,
in the city.
That's when you know you were born to do this. It's like, at your apartment, let's do a pop-up, right?
Oh, yeah. People still, you know, I work in a full-size restaurant. And I guess, according to my mom, I have a real job now. And people still request for me to cook at my own apartment because, I mean, it was some fun times. But, we're having a pop-up tailgating party at Burnham Harbor, parking lot of Soldier Field. And we're doing chorizo verde. So we're going to be giving away 150 pounds of chorizo verde. This is a little side project I'm working with my partner.
You're just going to be giving, so for people attending the game beforehand, this is the 5th, September 5th, and so there's an opportunity to go ahead. Like, if you find Chef Danny,
yeah,
you're
going to find me in the parking lot.
You're going to be there with the chorizo, right?
Yeah, so we're going to braise chorizo verde in my favorite Mexican beer, then we're just going to char them on the grill. Add some green pico de gallo and a nice little telera roll. And again, you know, it's just free for the public. Making sure everyone's aware that green chorizo exists. It's a thing. That's another, you know, little side project down the road where we're going to retail it and then sell it commercially.
We'll have links up at WGNradio.com for that, too. And so before we let you go for Cajon, for Grand Cajon, is the green chorizo, is that going to be on the competitive menu at Grand Cajon or no?
Yes, it is. Yes,
oh, wow.
It is.
Okay.
It'll be one of the three dishes that we will be making. And it's dear to my heart. Funny story is it all started with me smuggling chorizo when I was 12 to O'Hare.
If you're going to be a smuggler, I guess chorizo's
the
best. Yeah,
like, it was
go.
So good. And I mean, at the time, I hate to say it, but they asked me what was in it. And my mom, she just looked at me like, you better lie properly. And, you know, I said it was vegan and there was soy and celery. And I just named every green vegetable. And I had a good pound of chorizo last me about 3 months. Trial and error, trying to make it and reading and. I think we have a great recipe.
Cajon555.com for information on Grand Cajon and seeing Danny there in person on the 15th. And for people who want to follow your adventures social media-wise and get out and see you at Cantina Laredo, what's the social media for that?
It is at Danny the Cook on whichever social media platform you enjoy.
And the website for the cantina?
CantinaLaredo.com.
Oh, it doesn't get any more any easier than that. Well, Danny, thanks so much. Good luck. You know we're pulling for you. And thanks so much for taking time out and being on the show today.
Thanks for having us, Neil. Thank you.
All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to send it to news. It's On the Road with Dane, 720 WGN.
Typically, my go-to is Metallica. Hey, this is Matt Kenseth, and you're On the Road with Dane at WGN.
720 WGN, On the Road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and excited to have on the line with us one of the all-time great drivers and personalities in racing. He was a Cup Series rookie champion. He was an IROC Series champion, Monster Energy Cup Series champion, and two-time Daytona 500 winner, the one and only Matt Kenseth. Matt, welcome to WGN.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. It's great for people to be able to kind of connect with you and hear you and you're out there, because I feel like, and of course, let the listeners know that you're the Grand Marshal up there at Road America, one of the great crown jewels of racing, not only in Wisconsin, but in the entire country. People feel like they don't see enough Matt Kenseth because you left us with so much, I think, left on the table. I think you were still absolutely great in winning races when you stepped away.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I feel like things kind of, you know, line up or don't line up, and for a reason, that's what's supposed to happen, and you're put where you're supposed to be. But, yeah, certainly I'm thankful I was still competitive. I thought that, you know, particularly at JGR, we were still, you know, we were still capable of winning races and winning a championship if we could get everything to go right, and felt like I had some more time there. I could have contributed. But just kind of the way it happened, and, you know, you need to find a place for their younger driver, and they just decided to kind of go that direction. So I felt like I'm still today certainly capable of being competitive, but yet another hand, it's been, I think, a blessing in a lot of ways. I got to spend a lot more time, you know, with my kids and with Katie, particularly this year, you know, without kind of having the stresses of the weekly, you know, grind and travel and being on the track and pressure of the races and all that kind of stuff. So it's certainly been more relaxing and more quality time I spent with my family than I ever have. So that part's been good.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, I mean, it's the kind of thing, and that's what I think too, is because what you brought was not only, I don't think, the talent on the track and the ability to win races all the way up into the end, but what the sport has lost a lot of, which is those marquee personalities, kind of like superstars of NASCAR. It's been one of the things that they've been trying to fill the gap as kind of they grow that next generation. Well, it comes to Wisconsin. We talk all about it, and I spent a good portion of my formative years, you know, in Whitewater, and we talk about family road trips to Wisconsin. Was there kind of a bucket list of, you know, that you told either, you know, your wife and the family that, hey, when I get a chance, because racing is one of the most demanding schedules in all of sports, so many months, like you said, out on the road, there where you had a bucket list to get together. Let's go do this and that. Have you guys taken some trips?
We did a lot of traveling this summer. We actually spent a few weeks up in Wisconsin, which is always fun for us. We had a lot of friends and family up there, and it's a nice time of year to go up there in the summer. And, you know, did a couple of beach trips, went down to Florida, spent some time with Ross and his family down at the beach there, and, time in the mountains. So we went a little bit, all over the place, did some road trips, had some fun with that. So yeah, we do have, a lot more, I think we'd like to do. We're planning for next summer and, for a normal winter ski trip. So yeah, I've been enjoying that.
If you get a chance to do the whole Clark Griswold, you know, the kind of like get on the car, that kind of family road trip, you're heading to Road America. And Road America is the national park of speed. People love it all over the place. The open wheel guys, you know, the stock car guys, obviously, you know, not as much familiarity with the road courses, but people definitely love it. And it's right there in Wisconsin. You're the Grand Marshal for the C-Tech 180 that's coming up for Xfinity. Now, usually Grand Marshals are drivers that are way past their prime, or, you know, just color, like movie stars and things like that. What's it like to be the Grand Marshal over there?
Oh, you're saying I'm neither, right?
Right, neither.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something I've never done before, so it's probably a little bit out of my comfort zone, which I think is important for me, and I'm sure everybody's like that. But to do things that are a little bit out of your comfort zone now and then, I think that's always good. So yeah, it'll be different. It's something I've never done before, but looking forward to going to the racetrack. It's I hear great things about it. I've actually never been there for a race, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Wow. Okay. So you think about this, you're going to have a great reception, not only just, you know, race fans in general, but also Wisconsin fans. People love, they love you. They love what it is that you do and brought to the sport and awareness for racing in Wisconsin and all that. And of course, your part of that is to support the mighty Green Bay Packers, and, you know, family are shareholders for the Packers. And of course, this year in the NFL season, it's the 100th year of the Bears. And it's a big deal here. Of course, we have a lot of, you know, Bears analysis and all that. And the kickoff for the entire NFL season is series, Bears, Packers coming up. Any predictions on the team this year for the Packers? They need to kind of pull it together. Still have Aaron Rodgers.
Oh man, it's hard to make a prediction. I felt like I used to be able to make predictions, but the Bears and the Vikings are probably the favorites in the division, really. I don't think anybody's still too worried about the Lions, but the Bears and the Vikings are certainly are pretty stacked on their rosters and have had the last 2 years have been really strong. But like I said, the Packers still have Aaron Rodgers, all new coaching staff, got rid of a lot of their players that were there for a long time, got a lot of new faces in there. So I think it's a big unknown. It'll be fun to watch.
Is that one of the things that you maybe get a chance to do too? I know that they've talked over on interviews, Dale Jr.'s got to keep, I guess, for the Redskins, he's got to know what the scores are back when he was racing. And is that something that maybe, I mean, outside of the family road trips and some of the things you had to, or getting to experience on the family side on vacations, are there other things that you just didn't get a chance to do, especially in the fall, that maybe you're following up maybe on football or other sports?
You know, I've always enjoyed football, NFL football particularly, and I enjoy playing, fantasy football with my friends and some DraftKings leagues with my friends, things like that. You know, we used to get to quite a few live games. We have not been to any lately. It's a little, it's a little tougher than it used to be. We're in North Carolina most of the time, and, with the kids and everything, it's just, honestly, with as good as the coverage is and with all the fantasy football and all the stuff going on, it's almost easier to watch it on TV and still be home, get the kids to school the next day and do all that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping to catch a game or two this year live. It's been a few years since I've been up there. I've always enjoyed going to Lambeau. A lot of great people up there, and I always enjoy it when I get to go.
Yeah, and you'll be heading sort of close to that way when you're up at Road America. We'll have links up at roadamerica.com for that. And so, Matt, for the people that are going to get up there and visit you, they're going to see the Xfinity race, obviously. And one thing about Road America, I'll let you know, because I actually have been there, is there's great access. I mean, I think every ticket is almost a pit pass, and you get a chance to get out there. So many different vantage points to see the race from. It's in a beautiful setting, like up there in the woods. And you really do get a chance to kind of meet and greet the fans. Like, what is it that you're hoping to experience when you're up there? Just, I guess, meet people, see people. There's Johnsonville's has a great thing I can recommend, the brats for sure.
I don't know. I'm just, like I said, not being there, I don't really know what to expect, but I've always heard a lot of really, really good things about the facility. Obviously, I've watched a lot of the races on TV, and they've always been exciting races. So looking forward to getting up there and seeing everybody.
And then drivers are in great shape now. And of course, you see drivers out there running, and you're going to be running in the Berlin Marathon. Not the same days, when we had Chocolate Myers chain smoking in the pits. You've got drivers are in great shape now, not like Mr. Excitement, Jimmy Spencer, and some of the people from the past. As far as like racing and preparing for a marathon, which one has the tougher training regimen?
That's funny. So there's a lot of people that race that probably don't do any training, and I don't know that, it helps you or hurts you in a car. The biggest thing I think in stock car racing from my experiences is to be comfortable in a car, to have a seat that fits properly, have everything that fits properly inside, have some kind of ventilation and proper hydration, nutrition, and sleep. That's really, in my opinion, the main thing that makes you feel good in a race car. It's not super physically demanding. It's just, it's really hot, loud, and long.
All right. For those people that want to follow all of your adventures and encourage you, stuff the suggestion box for all of the NASCAR teams, because it would be great to see you out on the track again. And then social media wise, for people to follow your adventures, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, do you have a handle or accounts that you want to share with the listeners?
I'm not super active on that, but you could Twitter's at Matt Kenseth. I don't really do they do a fan page for Facebook, but I don't really get on there very much. So yeah, check Twitter. You can do that.
Yes, definitely do that. All right. Well, one of the greatest personalities in racing, and certainly one of our beloved ones with Wisconsin roots and ties. And it's going to be great to see you up at Road America, Matt. So thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Nice. Very well, Ashley. 720 WGN on the road with Tane, live here in the Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago, and you can see a lot of cars out on the roadways, a lot of people out there out and about, and I think the percentage of Ferraris is usually relatively small. It's something that you always see if you notice when you're like, oh, wow, there's one. And to have sort of this convergence of them in mass, in quantity, and combining with it one of the greatest historical kind of legends of the restaurant scene in Chicago is something special. On the line with us, excited to have the general manager for Italian Village, Joe Deininger. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much. How are you today?
I am okay. How are you? Are you ready for the impending storm of Ferrari Fest?
We are ready. We're ready. I don't know if we're going to beat last year. We had a record number of 90 cars, but we're going to have at least 60 beautiful Ferrari cars lined up between Clark and Dearborn in front of the Italian Village restaurants.
There's a lot of things that you can't necessarily control, like the weather and everything like that, but it's a great time of year, and it is a great event. So coming up, this is the 22nd annual Ferrari Fest. You guys have been in the showing off Ferrari business for quite a while, and it's celebrating the 92nd anniversary of Italian Village. So Joe, for those listeners, and I'm sure a lot of people have experienced it, enjoyed it, shared generations of family memories there, but for those people that maybe want to get a little snapshot of the history of Italian Village, if you could share it, that'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. 1927, September 20th, Alfredo Capitanini founded the Italian Village here on 71 West Monroe, and it developed from the Italian, the Village, the original restaurant, into two other restaurants in the same building. We now operate Vivere, our regional contemporary Italian restaurant on the main floor, and our La Cantina Chop House lower level, which is an Italian chop house style restaurant. We are now in fourth generation. Gina Capitanini is in the owner currently, but her daughter has just started with us. So we're going to continue the legacy here. And the event is very special to the family as we raise money for Children's Lurie's Children's Hospital and the Chicago Inspiration Corporation. All the proceeds, all the benefits, everything goes to them. It's all about the kids.
So the kids are going to be there, obviously front and center on the cause side. The cars will be out front as they have been for 21 years, and then of course the food is a big part of it as well. And Joe, if you had to put your finger on it, I mean, 92 years is an five years in the restaurant business is a success. Mm-hmm. Is a success. So you know you're doing a lot of things right. But what would you put your finger on as far as Italian Village? What is it about it? Is it the food? Is it the family? Is it the service? What is the thing that you think has kept it going for so long?
Well, you got to have the food, but I think it's the service, it's the treatment that we give to our guests. Being a family, I think we handle things more delicate, and we take care of our guests. We take care of our employees like they're part of our family. So you have to have the good food, but I think, you know, when it gets down to it, it's the heart and how you treat people and how they come back. And of course, we've got generations of family coming back to visit the restaurants.
I see some of the sponsors as well, and this is a great group because you couldn't do the Ferrari situation, at least it wouldn't be kind of, I think, as embraced and well received without the Ferrari Club of America, because you have that membership there. They're talking about it. I think a lot of people that are there have Ferraris, but there's so many people that love this event that come just that may never have them, myself probably included, that love to see those cars.
Yeah, people love to look at them, and, you know, I guess have their mouths gasped open and say, wow, how can I get one of those? But the neat part of it is, you know, even some of the owners at the end when we're done will give people rides if they like. Some of the kids, some of the children, even the grown-up adults want to get in a nice Ferrari. So, you know, we do offer a beautiful Italian buffet. We have face painters for the children. There's things for the children to do as well. We do a great raffle at the end of it with some really great prizes.
Yeah, and it's a $30 donation per person. Children 6 and under are free. And you mentioned the buffet. What kind of items? I know the pizza's there, and you've got a few other things as well people will enjoy.
We've got our great thin crust pizzas. We've got two or three different types of mastaccioli pasta with some of our homemade sauces, such as sun-dried tomato, pesto cream sauce, our marinara sauce, meats, cheeses, antipasto, salad, etc.
And our good friends, I see on the list here so many great partners involved, but Leza Ice Cream, so Ed Leza and his great team out there, lots of great history with those guys as well.
Yes, yeah, so we got a great history, and, you know, they provide us with the wonderful cannoli shells that we fill with our stuffing, and as they say in the movie there, The Godfather, leave the gun. and take the cannoli.
Take the cannoli, and then take a ride around in the Ferrari as well. It is coming up.
That's right.
September 8th. It is a Sunday. 71 West Monroe in Chicago. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. is the time. You're going to want to go early, though, if you want to get some parking, because I know that this is a kind of event that draws a lot of people there, as it should. The buffet itself is 11:30 to 1:30. And what's the website if people want to either get involved, maybe bring their car? I don't know if there's enough time to go ahead and do that, but certainly get more information.
Yeah, you can contact the Ferrari Club of America if they have room, absolutely. You could reach us at ItalianVillageChicago.com. That is our website here at the restaurant. We will be open all day that day as well, so when you're done, if you didn't get enough at the buffet, come upstairs to the Village Restaurant, which is the oldest restaurant Italian in Chicago. That is the one that opened in 1927, and have some lunch and early dinner with us.
Just stay there. Stay there the entire week.
The whole day.
Hang out. Bring your family. Bring generations of your family and enjoy what's been going on at Italian Village for 92 years. So, Joe, thanks so much for what you're doing. I know this is a big night, as every Saturday night is over at Italian Village, let you get back to work. But thanks for taking a little time out, sharing the event, and jumping on the show today.
Well, thank you for having us. We love to be part of it, as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joe. We'll see you then. All right. So that is a great event. Now, actually, I got to tell you, yeah, Joe, he gave up a couple things here because he had said something I was not aware of, which was that you can get rides. You can somehow talk the owners of the cars into giving you a ride around, I guess, around the block or something like that, or maybe to Milwaukee, maybe.
Yeah, you just hitch. They become your Uber for the day. You talk them into it. That would be awesome.
Run some
errands. Think I've ever... I've seen a Ferrari in person, and it is amazing. They're beautiful cars. I don't think I've ever been in a Ferrari.
Wow.
So that's going to be my task when I go.
September 8th. You gotta get over there, get inside the Ferrari and check it out. But here's the thing that is really cool about it. I mean, there's a bunch of things. The food is great, and it's an opportunity to have some of that great food. The pizza's awesome. And also for the great cause, Lurie Children's Hospital, they do some amazing work over there. But just the idea of seeing, you know, 90 of these cars, like, in one place, it's a kind of thing as a car enthusiast, and for those people out there that love the automobile, it's one thing to see, like, one or two. It's another to see, like, 90 all in one place. And they go through the ages, too. You've got some that are, you know, older from, like, the 60s, and then you've got some, you know, just some of the newer stuff and some very rare models as well. I mean, it's really something to see.
Yeah, I'm excited to go see it. I will definitely be over there. I love cars, honestly. And
you got to bring your mom, too.
She loves cars.
She could put the feather back on.
I know, right? We can bust her back out, one of the feather girls.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get ready for White Sox Weekly. It is On the Road with Dane here, 720 WGN.
At 635, is your cat thinking outside the box? Is your dog barking too much at the neighbors? Maybe your dog has a point, I don't know, but I can help and I will.
Steve Dale's Pet World, tomorrow morning at 630 on 720 WGN.
Your wife looks so hot.
Your husband looks so cold.
Hi, it's Dick from American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling with my wife, Elizabeth.
When we were married, I promised Dick that he would always have the last word.
Ever since, my last word has always been yes, dear.
Well, word has it that if your air conditioner breaks, the American Weather Makers 60 Minute Men will be at your home in 60 minutes or give you a free $60 gift card for the repair.
And we offer a lifetime warranty on our repairs, but never charge travel or overtime.
Plus, I love that American Weather Makers offers the best prices on the top furnace and air conditioner brands every day.
So if your air conditioner breaks, give us a jingle.
American Weather Makers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll free.
855-955-HVAC.
For the final word in cooling, visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com or call 855-955-HVAC.
Hey, this is John Williams. With this heat we're experiencing, is your home staying cool enough? If not, it could be those leaky old windows and doors. Call Nextdoor and Window today. They'll determine the problem areas that should be addressed. And right now, buy one, get one 30% off on all windows and doors, plus 18 months of interest-free financing. Call 1-800-NEXTDOOR to schedule a free evaluation or go to 1-800-NEXTDOOR.com.
Nextdoor and Window.